We're going to be in the book of Matthew. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. And you know, I was thinking about the pennies from heaven and what we do. And Lord just put this on my heart. And many of you have heard the story about Christ talking about, you know, the kingdom of heaven and the Lord judging the people in the kingdom of heaven, you know, coming before the Lord. And he starts talking about, and he says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, basically, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he also say unto them to the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye didn't take me in. I was naked, and ye didn't clothe me. I was sick, and in prison, and ye didn't visit me. Then shall they answer unto him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these things shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's amazing to me because, you know, this really kind of sets the parameter of what we as Christians need to do for those, and it doesn't need to be magnanimous. Sometimes we as a society think that everything has to be on a grandiose basis. But Christ here is talking to us about helping in the most basic essentials. He says here that God will judge us basically in our accordance to how we help our fellow man in their human need. In their human need. God doesn't depend on, he doesn't judge us on how much knowledge we have. He doesn't care if there's a MD, a PhD, a BA, an MA, a BS at the end of our name. He judges our heart and our caring. He doesn't care how much wealth you've accumulated. I don't know anybody that can buy the way into heaven, not even Donald Trump. There's not going to be one room up there that's reserved because you have pre-done it and you have put down a deposit of money. It won't get you anywhere. And it doesn't matter about your heritage. I don't care if you come from a long line of pastors. But, you know, it doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't, you know, that makes no difference. What it all is based on is literally how much we're willing to help our fellow man. And how we help is just as important as what we do to help. In Acts 20:35, Paul's saying to him, he says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I have said it before that if the Lord said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, then realize that each and every one of us has something that we can give. It could be of yourself. I saw people giving of themselves yesterday that come to this church very sporadically that worldly have nothing. but they gave their time. They gave their heart. And I didn't hear one word of complaint out of them. They did so lovingly. They did so because they see us doing. And you know what? I think people by nature really do want to help each other. I really do. And I know that God's people, when you have been saved by Jesus Christ, have the blood of Jesus Christ in you, have the Spirit of the Lord in you, they by nature want to help their fellow man. Because he's saying here, he says, it's not the grandiose things, it's the simple things. Think about that. It's the simple things of life that help your fellow man out. He said here that when he was hungry, somebody gave him something to eat. Simple, isn't it? Would that be difficult for any one of us to give up a loaf of bread or, you know, a meal to give to somebody else? Is there anybody in this room that has not done that? I don't think so. What about a drink? A bottle of water. Remember Jesus coming to the well and looking at the lady and says, I thirst. Please give me something to drink. Even when he was on the cross, he says, I thirst. Give me something to drink. What if somebody came through our doors and their clothes were all worn and tattered and shabby? I know without a shadow of a doubt that this church would rise up and donate clothing to this person. There's no doubt about it in my mind. What about welcoming a stranger to a community? We have a couple of communities around this area. They're very small and tight-knit. I always tease my mom. She lived in Colusa. Colusa is probably one of the toughest cities to become a part of because people grew up together. And it's tough to become part of the community, to get them to accept you. She was very fortunate in the fact that she was the first grade teacher. They had to accept her. But they didn't like it the first year. They saw her as a new teacher, and they did not want their children in her class. We have no idea anything about this lady. I know we took our son out to Sutter to play football and to go to the high school there for 4 years. With the exception of just a few people, we were always the outsiders. Because again, it's a very tight-knit community and they do not accept people coming into their environment very easy. But God forbid that that happens within his church. We always need to welcome each other with loving arms. No matter who they are that comes through the door. Whenever somebody is sick, Christ says, you comforted me when I was sick. Do we not do that? I know we do. We call upon each other. We help each other out. Probably the one that's probably the least of one of these, unless it's maybe somebody that we know, is visiting people that have been incarcerated. You know, they need to hear the word of Jesus Christ just as much as anybody else. And a lasting word that stays with them. Not just for while they are incarcerated. But you notice, here's something he didn't say. He didn't say that we are to help with money. Money didn't come into it whatsoever. He didn't say that we should help people by building a wing onto a building and making sure that it's put in our name. He didn't say that we should help people by creating a social program for them. He didn't say that we should take care of one another's retirement programs or that we should put somebody through to provide for their education. Although these things are nice and helpful and a good thing in some respects, they do not apply to the basic necessities of man. Remember, Christ says that he'll take care of all of our what? Our needs. Our needs, not all of our wants, but all of our needs. Even when the Israelites were out there, or not Israelites at the time, the Jews were out in the wilderness, all God ever did each day was provide water and manna. Water and manna, each and every day. I don't think he made gold fall down from the heavens. See, when somebody does that, it's the wrong type of helping. It's the wrong type of heart, isn't it? Help that has strings attached. Anybody ever have people they know like that? I'll help you, but there's got to be a favor in return. I think of that, and all I can think of the Godfather, you know.
It's okay, someday you'll come to me, and you'll ask of me a favor, and I'll give it.
That's the best Marlon Brando I can do, okay? Sorry. But, you know, there are people that we know like that, that you hate to ask them for anything because you know there's going to be 10 more favors that you have to do for them in order to have them do one for you. Everybody, I'm sure that everybody that is here has somebody like that in their life. Christ said to the ones that he considered goats that they were goats because they had no idea. They had no clue. See, they didn't recognize Christ for who he was as in terms of somebody else, and they would have helped him if he knew it was Christ. But sometimes we look at other people and we just feel like, oh, you're of a totally different socioeconomic condition than I am, and you make me feel uneasy. So I don't want to be around you or don't want to be part of you. But that's not the case. When you have the heart of Christ, you want to help, don't you? And it might be tiring, but I'll tell you what, yesterday I got home and I was wiped out. I thought I was tired before until I helped pull those tables over to the firehouse. And I thought I was tired when I got to the street. And then the street kind of gave a little bit of relief because it was nice asphalt to go across. But then there was this little concrete incline to get up into. And yeah, that kind of did me in. I was going, wow. That one was, I was feeling it after that. But you know, I get home, and although I was tired, it was a good tired. I was satisfied. I knew that we hadn't done what we had done in the years before. But that didn't matter because the Lord put on my heart, he says, you're not doing this for the money. And how many times churches, as I was praying and thinking about, Lord, what should I preach about today? How many times churches do things for all the wrong reasons? They don't do it to glorify God. They do it for themselves. I know of a church that before church, they have kind of their own little Starbucks, their own little section, you know, espresso machine. And when you are very first time to the church, it's free. After that, you have to pay for your coffee. And I thought to myself, self? That's what I say to myself. I said, self? Is this turning into a den of thieves? Is not my Father's house a place to be holy? See, if you want to receive more love of Christ, give it away with no strings attached. Give. Are you going to have a heart stomped on every now and then? Mm-hmm. I remember one person, we were doing something here for some people in the church, and this person came up to me and says, you know they're just taking advantage of you. I said, yeah, I know. It's not the first time it's happened to me, and believe me, it will not be the last. I don't care. You know, I really don't. I mean, it might sound really crazy because, you know, we at times, you know, we realize somebody takes advantage of us and so, boom, up go the walls. And then it happens again. And now that wall becomes a thicker wall and then a thicker wall. And Christ says, let them down. Let them down. Just help. Help because I helped you, didn't I? Did you get up on that cross? Did you let them put those nails in your hands? Did you let them throw that spear in your side? I did that. I helped you. Do I not feed you every day with my word? Do I not quench your thirst by giving you springs of living water? Were you not naked before you came into this world? Were you not naked before you came to know me and I clothed you with my righteousness? Were you not imprisoned by a religious system that oppressed you and kept you down and had you do things that the world thinks that you need to do? And did I not set you free by my blood so that you can openly worship me and follow after me? Was your soul not sick, rotting and decaying? And I came in and I touched it and I healed you. That's the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. He took care of you and of me. He did that for us first. Why should we not continue to do it for others? Amen.